think. Overconfidence is dangerous. It makes me take risks where there is serious danger of sin. God cannot bless foolishness, and overconfidence is foolishness. I will trust in God, but I will not tempt Him to abandon me to my stupidity. I will bravely face the dangers which have to be faced in my daily life. When, however, I am able to avoid occasions of sin, I will not hesitate to do so. Pray, my Jesus, can I reasonably expect your help if I do not bother to avoid occasions of sin? Why do I think that I can take chances? The man who takes risks in this matter is being presumptuous. He expects you to give him extra graces against the danger which he brings on himself. I must do your will, not mine. Lord, I shall never fail to have confidence in your assistance, but I refuse to place myself unnecessarily in any danger of sin. That is the wisdom which you desire of me. Let me avoid, as far as possible, all persons and things which draw me closer to sin. I hope that I may never offend you by overconfidence in my own ability or in presuming on your extra help. Amen. Chapter 73. The Dangers of Knowledge. Christ said, "My child, knowledge is often the cause of pride and vanity. Some people consider themselves better than others because of their knowledge. They do not realize that knowledge is worth nothing unless it makes one a better man in his daily life. Knowledge can bring many useless distractions. Many things will make no difference in thy daily life, whether thou know them or not. Some are so distracted by the pursuit of knowledge that they no longer consider their faults and defects. If they were as diligent in rooting out vices and acquiring virtues as they are eager for knowledge, the world would be a better place. Some prefer to be honored rather than be humble, and they are lost in their own self-centered imaginings. They are ruined through vain learning and unprofitable knowledge because they forget me. The self-wise are rarely able to take orders. They value others only by their knowledge or lack of it, as though man were made up only of intellect. Think. Knowledge is half the man. Action is the other half. The more I learn, the more I will see that I am ignorant of many things. True education humbles a man by showing him the grandeur of God's creation and his own littleness. The most learned men are deeply aware that they know little. If ever I think that education makes me better than my neighbor, then I have missed the spirit of true education. True education should show me more and more of God's place in the world and the glorious meaning of everyday life. Every bit of knowledge can help me in some way, but I must prefer to learn best whatever will enrich my life most, God's teachings through His church. Unless my learning leads me on to a better life, it is a waste of precious time. A virtuous life makes me dear to God. Education is intended to help me live such a life. Pray, my Jesus, what will it profit me to talk and dispute about great things if I am not doing great things? My greatest achievement before your heavenly Father is to advance each day a little closer to your holiness and goodness. On the day of judgment, I shall not be asked how much I have learned, but rather how much I have done. True, I must first learn what is to be done, but let me not think more of learning than of doing. I want to understand ever better what you desire of me. Then, with your help, I wish to go forth and do it. Amen. Chapter 74. Knowledge Without Virtue. Christ said, "My child, the desire for knowledge is natural and normal, but it is not good unless this knowledge helps thee to become a better man. A simple working man who follows my words is far better than a learned professor who does not care about my commandments. Thy daily life is a journey toward eternity. The knowledge which helps thee to gain heaven is the first and most important knowledge for thee. The more thou learn of me and my doctrine, the better for thee. All other knowledge is to be esteemed according to how it helps thee to live a holier and more useful life. There are many things which are unimportant in thy particular walk of life. If some men were more diligent in rooting out their faults and correcting their defects, they would be much better off than they now are, with their learned discussions about many things. It is better to be great than merely to be considered great. Thou wilt be great if thou learn my words and act on them in thy daily life. If thou merely talk about a holy life, thou may impress men, but I know thee for what thou art, a failure forever. Think. Some people value education for itself. They see in it man's greatest achievement. They are mistaken. Knowledge is of no value unless it makes me a better man. It should broaden my view of life, bring me a deeper understanding of people and things, and make me better prepared to receive God's graces. If education makes me more self-centered and proud, if it makes me despise others, it is bad for me. True education should help me live a virtuous life by helping me appreciate God's wonderful creation. Pray. Holy Spirit, my God, inspire me with a love for good and with a healthy knowledge. Show me how to live what I learn as far as that is possible in my daily life. It is better to live your words than to preach them eloquently or teach them beautifully. The man who can quote line after line of Holy Scripture is not as great in your eyes as the one who puts those lines into daily practice. Show me ever more clearly how completely I belong to you. Let no other knowledge ever obscure this first and highest knowledge. Amen. Chapter 75, Shifting Moods and Feelings. Christ said, "My child, do not become discouraged because thy interior dispositions change so easily. At one moment thou art filled with a burning desire to serve me, and a short while later thou feel alone and uninterested. Do not be surprised nor saddened by this instability within thee. By this process thy soul is purified of selfishness in serving me. In spite of thy changing moods and feelings, thou canst still prove thy loyalty to me. Simply refuse to abandon the intentions and resolutions which thou made previously. Even my saints experienced such changes, but they were determined to please me regardless of feelings or moods. Thy feeling of devotion is a gift from me for the present moment. After thou make a good resolution, I may take away this feeling so that thou may prove thy sincerity or discover thy insincerity. It is easy to make high resolves and great promises. Everybody does this in moments of devout sentiment or emotion. Too often, however, good resolutions vanish with one's changing feelings or moods. I want thee to live an intelligent life. I give thee grace to understand what is better and to desire it. Then I offer thee strength and opportunity to follow what is intelligent. If thou still go after the better things when thy good feelings have vanished, thou prove thyself truly noble, unselfish with me, and worthy of my friendship and glory in heaven. Think. No man is ready to see God face to face in heaven until he has proved himself ready. He must be purified of blind self-interest. As gold is purified in the burning crucible, so too is it with me. I cannot be sure of my own sincerity until it has been purified by the various occurrences of daily life, by the way in which I take my successes and failures, my moments of satisfaction and my moments of want. I will see what I really am or need to be. When my will accepts and chooses what God's holy will sends, only then will I be as great as I was meant to be. To arrive at this, I must conquer my changing moods and feelings by intelligent activity. Pray. In light or darkness, sorrow or joy, let me turn to you, my God, and let me prove that I really am what you want me to be. My words of gratitude, loyalty, and love must shine out in action. Talk is cheap until it is backed up by the gold of action. My moods will change, and my feelings will vary throughout the day. But my will desires to follow your holy will in each task and occupation. Grant me strength to prove my real worth by action. Amen. Chapter 76, Spiritual Consolation and Desolation. Christ said, "My child, when I give thee spiritual consolation, accept it gratefully. Remember always that it is a free gift, not due to any merits of thine. Dismiss all self-satisfaction and pride from thy heart. I am the source of all that thou enjoy." This realization will give thee a healthy humility when I grant thee some special favor. Beware of vanity. Abandon all foolish ideas of thy own values and abilities. Remember, this hour of consolation will pass away, and a time of trial will follow. When consolation is taken from thee, do not become sluggish and disinterested in thy usual tasks and occupations. Keep up thy prayers and good works. Humbly accept my will and patiently go on with thy daily activities. The grace of consolation and enthusiasm will return in due time. These interior changes from consolation to desolation, from joy to sadness, from light to darkness, are not an unusual experience. All of my faithful followers have passed through them. By their steadiness of purpose, they prove that they really love me more than they love my gifts. Keep thy eyes on me, whether thou art in joy or sadness, whether matters are moving along smoothly or roughly, whether thy heart is filled with doubts or with joyful confidence in me. See that thou follow my words in thy daily occupations. Then will thy daily life be a steady progress toward the home of peace and eternal happiness. Think, God gives every man the chance to know and improve his character. Many a person did not know his limitations and faults until he met successes and failures. That is why each one has his ups and downs, moments of satisfaction, and moments of trial. The true man of God tries to live a life based on intelligent principles. He does not act on emotion or impulse unless the action makes sense. Pray. Lord, in sorrow or joy, success or failure, I want to live my life intelligently according to your law. The sorrows and joys of earth are all too short. Hence, they should not rule my actions in any sinful way. I am living for heaven's eternal happiness. Let me not lose that because of any passing hardship or good thing on earth. Lead me through whatever joys or sorrows you want. Only grant me the favor of finally arriving at the perfect life of heaven. Amen. Chapter 77, Progress in Time of Desolation. Christ said, "My child, progress in the spiritual life does not consist in having a great deal of interior joy and consolation. It consists in being humble, patient, and free from self-pity when things go wrong. Faithfully go on with thy affairs, and do not become careless in thy prayers and good works when thou no longer find pleasure in them. Continue doing thy best in thy daily activities, in spite of any disinterest, anxiety, or even disgust. Some people grow impatient and careless in serving me when things do not go as they desire. It is not always in a man's power to choose what he wants in this earthly life. In spite of all thy plans and precautions, thou cannot avoid all disappointments. Even the mistakes and sins of others, which make thy life harder, are permitted for a good reason. I have a plan for thee by which thou may become truly great. I send thee what is best for thee. If thou follow my will, thou wilt have my peace on earth and my joy in heaven. If thou rebel, thou wilt hurt thyself and probably some of the people in thy life. I owe thee nothing. Thou owe me absolutely everything. Whether thou receive much or little, thou art always in debt to me for all things. Think. Many people judge their closeness to God by their feelings. If they feel devout, they believe they are pleasing Him, and if they feel dejected and gloomy, they think that He has abandoned them. These standards are false and deceitful. I may be proving my best love for God when I least feel like pleasing Him. As long as I fulfill what He expects of me, I do love Him no matter how I feel. Jesus Himself said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." There is the test of true goodness and holiness. As long as I'm following His holy will, I am following God's wonderful plan for my salvation and the salvation of those with whom I deal. At times, feelings may help me to serve God with more enthusiasm, but it is my will that really shows how much I am worth in His eyes. In time of desolation, I should cling to my resolutions and go on with my religious practices as I did when I enjoyed doing these things. That is the way of intelligent love, the way in which God wants to be loved. Pray. Dear Lord, make me the kind of follower you desire me to be, an intelligent follower. No feelings nor mood should determine how I am to serve you this day. I ought to do my best by see your holy will and follow it, without letting my feelings rule my intelligence or control my will. No matter how I may feel about what I must suffer, I know this: you are always watching over me, always helping me walk toward heaven. Even the evil which you permit in my life has its higher purpose. You will someday be praised for many things which men now question. With eyes fixed on you, let me go on fulfilling your holy will each day. You are my true and perfect joy, my eternal glory, my never-fading crown. Amen. Chapter 78, God's Words to the Desolate. Christ said, "My child, believe in me. Put thy trust in my love and mercy. Many a time, when thou think that I am far from thee, I am very close to thee. When thou feel as though everything is going wrong, then it is that thou can give the best proof of thy faith and thy loyalty to me. Thou art not a failure just because things turn out differently from what thou desired. Do not judge things by thy disappointment or dislike. Keep discouragement out of thy heart, no matter how hopeless matters may appear. Do thy best and accept the results of my will. I am thy Maker and thy loving God. Thy most hidden thoughts are clearly seen by me. Thy eternal salvation is my main interest. When thou feel disinterested and disgusted with thy daily activities, remember that I have good reasons for letting thou feel so. If I have taken anything away from thee, thou cannot rightfully complain. Thou cannot claim anything as thy own, not even thyself. All things are mine. Without me, thou art actually nothing. Even when I seem to deal harshly with thee, I deserve praise and obedience, because my actions proceed from eternal wisdom and infinite love. What I do to thee is done because I love thee far more than thou love thyself or anyone else. When I send thee any trouble or affliction, do not complain or become sad. Peace and contentment will come to thee as soon as it is for thy best interest. Think. In all things God loves me and thinks of my true happiness. Because I am short-sighted and self-centered, I complain when things go wrong. God could prevent many a disagreeable experience of mine. He doesn't do so for very good reasons. As I grow older and wiser, I shall see how much I overestimated the passing successes or comforts of earthly life. Pray. Dear Lord, if I knew how very wise you are and how much you love me, I would soon learn to be content with your holy will. In my selfishness, I desired a heaven on earth as well as after death. Now I want to accept your will in all things. Whether you send me consolation or desolation, let me serve you as you deserve. I shall try my best to improve myself in daily life. After I have done my best, I shall accept the results as your holy will. Amen. Part 4, Conquering Bad Habits. Bad habits are evil inclinations acquired through repeated bad acts. Unless we overcome these habits, they will gradually become our masters. They come between our Lord and us, and they can cripple our goodwill. In order to be true followers of Christ, we must first refuse to be the slaves of our bad habits. In Him alone will we find true peace and joy. How are we to deal with bad habits? Akempis tells us, habit is overcome by habit. By working to form good habits, we will slowly replace bad ones. God's help will not be wanting. Just how sincere we are when we say that we love Christ is seen in our daily effort for perfection. God will not judge us by our failures, but rather by our efforts. He wants us to try and to keep trying to become the kind of person He wants us to be. Overconfidence shows our pride and presumption. Discouragement in time of failure shows selfishness. Only a humble, determined, and persevering effort can prove genuine love for Christ. This part deals only with the outstanding habits which keep men from a full generosity with God. By overcoming these, a person quickly advances along the road to true holiness. Above all, we must remember that God's help is most effective with those who keep on trying, no matter how often they seem to fail. Chapter 79, Generosity with God. Christ said, "My child, do thou best to follow my words in thy daily life. Do not depend on human sympathy or admiration to go on living a good life. Thou knowest what is right. Do it regardless of the pleasure or pain which it gives thee. Let thy faith and charity be thy strength. If I give thee heavenly consolation for every good deed which thou perform, thy life would hardly be a proof of greatness. It would be very easy and very appealing to anyone, even the most selfish. I want thee to be a man of truth, one who lives what is right and follows what is true. See what I rightfully deserve, and try to give me the pure, unselfish loyalty which thou owe me. Forget thyself, follow my will, and thou wilt achieve great greatness, the greatness of a good and holy life." Anybody can be cheerful and devoted when I give him my heavenly consolation. It is a genuine pleasure to serve me when thou enjoyest my gifts of interior joy and consolation. Thy real virtue and thy true generosity with me, as seen when I take away these holy feelings and inspirations. Do thou still want to please me when thou do not feel like doing so? Art thy faith and love strong enough to keep thee close to me when thy selfish desires want to go elsewhere? Think. The true love of God is not a mere sentiment. It is an intelligent conviction that I owe him everything. It is a firm persuasion that he deserves the very best service which I can offer. With this realization, God offers me the strength to do what is right and good, even when my feelings, moods, and desires would prefer to act differently. Generosity with God means loving his will more than my own imperfect inclinations and desires. Pray. My God and my all, I offer you my best and deepest love. You are truly my all. Without you, I would have nothing and would be nothing. From you came all the good things in my life. Your generosity toward me has no limits. May I never refuse to be generous with you. I wish to embrace your will in all things, regardless of the selfish likes and dislikes within me. May your will be ever accomplished in my life. Amen. Chapter 80, Anger. Christ said, "My child, anybody can get along with those who are quiet and mild-tempered It is no great accomplishment to associate with those whom thou likest, or with those who see things thy way. True greatness is proven by getting along with people who are difficult and contrary, or with those who are thoughtless and selfish. Some live at peace with themselves and with those around them. Some, on the other hand, have no peace within themselves, and they seem determined to ruin the peace of others. Thou wilt find peace only if thou art willing to bear patiently what thou cannot remedy. He who knows how to suffer patiently for my sake will receive my gift of peace. He is the master of himself, a friend of mine, and an heir of heaven. If trouble comes to thee, do not let them disturb thee. Look to me, and at least give me the loyalty of being patient with my will. If human efforts fail to bring a solution to thy troubles, it means that I want thee to bear this trial. I want this for good reasons, which thou may not understand just now. Above all, avoid anger when matters go against thy wishes. Let no word of resentment fall from thy lips. Give a good example of faith and confidence in me. Let thy patience shine before men. Do not force others to share your troubles by making them feel thy impatience, anger, or self-pity. Follow my words in these matters, and thy present trouble will bring thee a joy greater than thou canst imagine. Think. Our Lord speaks of meekness and humility as two of his special lessons to me. Meekness is the virtue of gentleness with others, especially with those who arouse me to anger. Jesus wants me to take this as a personal lesson from him. Anger and impatience are often signs of a deep pride or selfishness. I am aroused when matters do not go as I wish. The occasions for a just anger are rare enough. Most of the time I become angry because I lack understanding or sympathy or patience or a willingness to suffer any more than I must. How would our Lord take those same situations? There is my model. Pray. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like yours. Make this petition one of my frequent prayers. You want me to be like you. I seem to think that life would be unbearable if I practiced meekness with certain people. Let me understand that meekness is not weakness, but strength, the strength of virtue. You want me to practice meekness? I am willing to try it for your sake. Show me how to do it. Let me no longer give in to my pride and my selfish desires by the sin of anger. When things are not going my way, let me act as you would act if you were in my place. Make me more and more like you. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like yours. Amen. Chapter 81. Impatience. Christ said, "My child, be patient with the defects and weaknesses of others. They have to put up with thy defects. If thou fail so often in making thyself what thou desire to be, how can thou expect to change others in a short time? Thou want to see others correct their faults, yet thou art not fighting half enough against thy own. Thou art strict in correcting others, but thou art not as strict in the correction of thyself. The lazy and easy-going ways of others irritate thee. Still, thou resent it if anyone tries to interfere with thy own self-indulgence. Thou want others to keep the rules, but thou art aroused to anger against anyone who mentions the rules to thee. How seldom thou judgest thy neighbor with the same love and understanding with which thou judgest thyself. Thou art often disturbed by others because their faults and defects interfere with the routine of thy life. Thou thinkest that thou art being zealous for what is right, but if thou look honestly into thy own heart, thou will often see self-love at the bottom of thy impatience and anger. Think. At times I delude myself into thinking that I am virtuous in matters where I am actually displeasing God. One sure proof that I love God is a patient love of others. The more I try to help others and to be patient with their faults, defects, and shortcomings, the more I will prove myself unselfish and generous with God. God wants me to consider him as my neighbor. Jesus said that I do to him what I do to others. Does my daily treatment of others show love of God or love of self? Just as I tend to favor myself in most matters, so too should I learn to favor my neighbor for God's sake. I find it easy to excuse myself. Let me try to excuse the mistakes of others. Pray. My Jesus, I can never be wrong when I love my neighbor and try to think well of him in spite of his faults. True, at times I may have to be stern for his good, yet even then let me act with love in my heart. Your follower must have no hatred or impatience, but only a sincere desire for the welfare of others. Let me never again displease you by any deliberate intolerance or harshness toward those around me. Make me one-tenth as patient with their mistakes as you are with mine, and I will never again hurt anyone with my impatience. Remind me often of my own faults, limitations, and defects so that I may include myself when I pray for sinners. I hope to prove my gratitude and love for you by my patience with others. Amen. Chapter 82, Fault Finding. Christ said, "My child, learn the lesson which I taught over and over again by my life and words on earth. I alone am great. All earthly greatness is but an image of my uncreated greatness. Man is the work of my almighty hand. Of himself, man is nothing. If, however, he follows my words in his earthly life, he will share my happiness and glory in heaven. How can thee think so much of thyself when thou art made from nothing? Why do thou think highly of thyself? Thou hast so many faults and defects. Be humble and live as one who admits his limitations. Do not let thy actions show pride and vanity. How can thou find fault with others? Thou art so full of faults thyself. Without my help, thou would easily fall into the same mistakes which thou criticize. Unless it is thy duty to correct others, think more of thy own faults than of other faults. Work and fight against thy own defects, and thou wilt be too busy to be annoyed by thy neighbor's defects. What is the best knowledge? To know me, to look for my holy will, and to reflect often on how thou might eliminate thy faults and defects. Act on this knowledge, and thou wilt be walking on the road to eternal life. Think. No matter what talents I have, I must never forget that they belong to God. Moreover, in spite of my talents and virtues, I also have faults and defects. Once I am honestly convinced of my limitations and shortcomings, I will find it easier to think well of my neighbor. If my self-love blinds me to the truth about myself, it is not true self-love. It hurts me and makes life a little harder for those around me. Pray. My Jesus, give me such a love of truth that I will never be blinded by the self-love of pride and vanity. Let my self-love be the healthy self-love of your saints. They wanted nothing but the best for themselves. They found the best in your holy truth. They respected themselves for what they were, and they never pretended to be bigger than they really were. Their love for others came from their realization that all men are made to God's image and are loved by him. Give me such a love for the truth that I will follow it at all times, regardless of my likes or dislikes, prejudices or preferences. Only an honest and unselfish daily life can prove that I really love you, my King and Savior. Amen. Chapter 83, Rash Judgments. Christ said, "My child, mind thy own business, and do not set thyself up as the judge of those around thee. There is a good deal that thou do not know about thy neighbor. It is not easy to judge others as they deserve. Be wise and leave all judgment to me. It is far more profitable for thee to look to thyself and judge thyself. Thou can do a great deal about correcting thy own faults. As for the faults of others, the best thou canst do is to give good example, offer a bit of advice where it will help, and say a sincere prayer for the persons involved. Thy concern over thy neighbor's faults does not always arise from a virtue in thee. Some people annoy thee because they are not minding thy own business or because thou have not yet learned patience and understanding. People are not always at fault when they get on thy nerves. The real fault is often in thee. I suffered many things in silence for thy sake. How often do thou suffer in silence for me? Get to work and correct thy own faults. Thou wilt then be too busy to be annoyed by the faults of others. Think, how much peace of soul I could enjoy if only I could learn to mind my own business. Judging others is such a waste of precious time. I am so often wrong when I think ill of others. If I dislike someone, I feel inclined to judge him more harshly than others. If God were my main interest, I would never think ill of anyone, not even those who really offend me. How often I am aroused against someone because, knowingly or unknowingly, he has opposed my pride or selfishness in some way. I should not expect everyone to see things my way. Every man is different, and each one has his own tastes and experiences. So often God excuses those whom I condemn. Pray. My Lord, I long for a ray of heavenly wisdom, so that I may not be unreasonable in my judgments and opinions about others. You treat each person as an individual. You do not ask me to be like others in my ways. You only want me to take the talents and circumstances in my life and to make the most of them. You ask us to imitate you as far as we are able, according to the intelligence and grace which each one has. Let me not judge rashly those who do not do things my way. I want to follow your holy will in all things. Though I observe the mistakes and faults of others, I will try to refrain from any harsh judgments. If I cannot say something kind of another, I will keep silent. Amen. Chapter 84, Uncharitable Criticism. Christ said, "My child, do not believe everything which thou hear about others. Men often judge their fellow men with prejudice. Their judgments frequently depend on their temperaments, tastes, moods, ambitions, and self-love. Thou wilt usually be right if thou refuse to judge another by the criticisms which thou hear about him. Many a man is condemned when he is absent and cannot defend himself. People feel superior when they criticize others. They are apt to exaggerate the faults of thy neighbor. If thou show interest in their criticism, they may be encouraged to continue their uncharitable talk. Show disapproval of all backbiting, at least by thy silence. Try to change the subject as tactfully as possible. Everyone makes mistakes. The human critic may know how to do something better than this man or that man. He may not, however, know the motives or intentions of the one he criticizes. He has no right to reveal another's hidden faults, except to protect the innocent or to help the guilty person himself. Remember, too, that thou mayest well be the object of the speaker's criticism when thou art absent. Speak now of the criticized one as thou would want others to speak of thee when thou art criticized. Think, one of the worst faults of human nature is that of condemning others. That is why Jesus taught his doctrine of charity. As I judge others, so will I be judged by God. If I condemn others, I too will be condemned. A true follower of Christ is more ready to think well of others than to think evil. Pray. My Jesus, King of my heart, give me some of your kindness, so that I may always think well of my neighbor. I do not know everything about him. Perhaps he cannot help doing what I disapprove. There may be 100 excusing causes for what he does. Let me leave all judgment in your hands and try to overlook what others do. Teach me to mind my own business and to pray for those who seem to need it. Never will I forget your great mercy to me, a sinner. As you forgive me, so may I always forgive those who offend me. Never will I reveal the hidden faults of another except where I am obliged to protect those who are innocent or for the public good. Amen. Chapter 85, The Folly of Worldliness. Christ said, "My child, beware of the spirit of worldliness. It blinds one to the truth and makes him think more of this earthly life than of the world to come. It so deceives a man that he is more ready to work for death than for life. He becomes more interested in appearing great than in actually being great by living a good life. If worldly men took time to think of their earthly life, they would quickly realize how foolish they are for loving it so much. In this world, there is so much opposition, pain, sorrow, disappointment, and disillusionment. Rarely are earthly ambitions fully satisfied. The worldly man often finds bitterness where he had expected sweetness. In the things and people on whom he relied, he sees so many limitations and shortcomings. Sooner or later, he will have to admit that the happiness, peace, and satisfaction for which he hoped are not of this world. Do not let appearances fool thee. The worldly man is doomed to disappointment, but my followers will never be disappointed as long as they are devoted to my will. My promises are not empty words, nor will they deceive those who trust in me. What I have promised, I will give. What I have said, I will do, if only thou wilt continue to be loyal to the end." Think. The man who follows his feelings and refuses to think keeps chasing after permanent happiness and peace, where he can never find them. He goes on hoping that after the present failures and disappointments, he will find at last what he has not found thus far. Little does he dream that only in the friendship and love of God can he find what he desires. Pray. My God, all-loving and all-wise, may I find bitterness in any person or thing which holds me back from you. Take away from me whatever leads me into sin. Grant that I may never be enslaved by my feelings, but rather give me an interior vision which will detect sin in all its disguises. Bestow on me courage to resist evil, patience to go on doing what is right, and endurance to continue doing my best. I long for the interior joy of your friendship and company. Instead of foolish earthly attachments, I want a strong love for your wise and holy will in all things. Amen. Chapter 76, Needless Curiosity. Christ said, "My child, uncontrolled curiosity draws thy attention away from thy duties and brings needless distractions. It can waste a good deal of time and energy which thou might use to greater good. It leads to pointless visiting and useless conversations. It fills the mind with so many empty distractions which prevent thee from freely receiving the holy thoughts and good desires which I send thee throughout the day. Thou would have great peace if thou wert less curious about things which do not concern thee. One who is too interested in the sayings and doings of others becomes forgetful of the glorious ideal which I present to him, the ideal of pleasing me in all things and thereby gaining eternal life. Many things occur during the day which do not help thee become a better person. What does it matter whether this one has a new garment or that one has failed in some personal project? Think of what concerns thee, and of any good which thou canst do to others. Keep thy heavenly goal before thy mind, as far as thy daily occupations will permit. Avoid idle words and useless activities. At the conclusion of the music, please go to the next tape.